it's really a serious issue. And I look at some things in the Bible, what it says regards to depression. And every Wednesday night, it seems to either rain or snow or hail, and so that's pretty depressing. And I'm sure there's some people I'm looking at tonight that are not here because they said it was going to be freezing rain, and hopefully by the time we get done this evening, about an hour or so, that there won't be any freezing rain, and you can get home and safe before any of that happens. I don't think it's really supposed to happen until later on, but they came out and said, starting at 5 o'clock, freezing rain, and I'm sure people saw that and got concerned. So. But you're here, and we're glad that you're here. And yeah, that was great. I preached through 13 chapters on Sunday, and it only took 4 hours and 15 minutes to do it. It was 49 minutes. Not bad, huh? 49 minutes, 13 chapters. So.
It was kind of long.
Well, 13 chapters is long. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, just for the record, Steve told me that the week before, Ethan preached for 59 minutes.
56.
56. So, there you go. Anyhow, let's get on with the Bible study tonight. Psalm 77, you'll take your hand out, return it in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 77. And then we're going to read through the Psalm. And, of course, our topic, when you can't just get over it, and you know, depression is it's a real problem. There's all different types of depression, and some depression can be very, very serious. One of the greatest preachers of all time, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said that he suffered from depression. And a number of sermons that I've read with regards to Spurgeon and his the difficulties are really interesting to read, and it can be a great help. But really, the Bible has the answer to everything. Amen?
Amen?
It's the Word of God, and we look to the Word of God. And again, while there are many different reasons people can go through depression, we want to look at some topics in this particular psalm, because the writer of this psalm, Asaph, was dealing with depression. In fact, I think Asaph... You'll forgive me. I think about 15 of the Psalms, I might be wrong, but I think 15 of the Psalms were written by him. And there is, you see, if you read those Psalms, there is a, it's almost as if he dealt with this quite a bit. But you also read the Psalms that David wrote. And David went through times of difficulty and times of depression. So let's read through chapter 77, then I'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Bible study tonight. The Bible says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favored no more? Is his mercy clean, gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. The waves in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you bless now the Bible study tonight. Just speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Teach us tonight, Lord. Guide and direct us. Draw each of us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a simple definition of depression, just the whole idea of depression is to push down emotionally. Where I looked it up in Webster's dictionary today, and where Webster said to render dull, or to weaken, or to make sad, or make gloomy. And if you've ever gone through any kind of depression, that's kind of the gist of it. That's what it does. It kind of pushes you down. It's very, very repressive. But in this psalm, let's identify some things in verses 1 through 6. And I put this first point as the expressions of depression. And these, of course, are not exclusive here, but we're going to see some things as we read through this psalm. So as we started the psalm, you can see that the psalmist here, he's troubled. He cries unto God. And he's hoping that God would hear him. And in the early parts of the psalm, we're going to see he doesn't really think God is listening to him. And he's just struggling through a number of different things here. Before we look at these several points I'm going to have you fill in here, or actually you're going to tell me what they are, look at what it says on your handout, Psalm 143, 3 and 4. The psalmist said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. When I think of depression, I think of the word overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed, it's found throughout the Psalms. The only place it's found in the Bible is in the Psalms. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. When you're in a state of depression, you can almost feel that way, that just no one cares what's going on. But I want to see, I want you to see, if you can kind of just pick out some things in these verses here. That phone reminded me, I'm walking through the church building today, and I'm walking up past the nursery. There's nobody here, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear Mary had a little lamb, and it stopped. And then I walked a little bit further past the nursery, and all of a sudden, I forget what the other one was, and then I realized some joy in the nursery just possessed. And there was it's kind of crazy. Anyhow, look at verse 4 and 5 and 6. And I want you to pick out some things here. So I want you to see if you can kind of pick out what the psalmist is talking about. Now we're talking about, again, depression and what he's trying to, the point that he's trying to bring forth here. So you tell me in verse 4, and he said this, thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. There's actually two there. But these are symptoms when you experience depression. What would one of them be? Okay, you got to raise your hand because everybody wants to answer. Okay. Go ahead. Well, there's trouble, but that's something else. Yes. Sleep is one of them. If you cannot sleep, it's not. Now, this is not always the case, but sleep is a lack of sleep. Insomnia is a symptom of depression. And the psalmist says that here. Now, you can fill, I put all S's here. I always do this. It helps me to remember things. So that first fill in the blank, if you just want to write in the word sleepless or sleeplessness, that's what I have on my handout. Insomnia. You know, if you've ever gone through a period of time where you don't sleep, and I have, you can become exhausted. You become fatigued. You're just tired all of the time. And that's not good. And then your worries or whatever worries that you have or whatever fears that you might have, whatever you're dealing with, it just is magnified. And the psalmist, that's what he's talking about here. when he says in verse 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking." Have you just ever laid in bed at night and you just can't sleep? And now, for me personally, I have a few things that I do when I can't sleep. Number one, I'll start to pray. And someone once said, "Well, that's terrible if you fall asleep while you're praying." And a friend of mine who's in the ministry said, "Well, I was talking to him about that," and he said, "Well, what's so?" And I didn't think it was terrible. And I mentioned it, and somebody said that, "Like you're disrespecting God." And he said, "Well, what's better than falling asleep in the arms of your Father?" And that's true. If you can't sleep, you might as well pray. You might as well be productive and just talk to the Lord. Because the reality is, if you can't sleep generally, you're thinking about a million things. So start to think about the things of God. And, or, I quote the 23rd Psalm. And sometimes I'll quote it several times, and then I'll fall back to sleep. But insomnia is a symptom of depression. Insomnia, not always, but I'm just saying, clinically speaking, we know that. People who are depressed have a hard time sleeping. But then he went on and he said that somebody already said in that same verse. This is an easy one. "I am so troubled I cannot speak." Okay, so on your handout, I wrote the word silence. So what do you think about that with regards to when you said, "I am so troubled"? People who are going through a depression or going through a depressing time, they can't speak. Right? They withdraw from people. They don't want to be around people. They don't want to talk to people. Or they just don't want to talk about it because it begins to control them. And they hide, get into a box. They want to be left alone. Those are all expressions of depression. And this, the writer of the Psalms here, he says, not only can't I sleep at night, but I'm so troubled, I don't speak, I can't speak. In verses 5 and verse 6, he says this, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." So this one probably might be a little difficult, more difficult to try. Go ahead, Frank.
In-laws.
What do you mean by the in-laws?
Well, my ear made diligent search, which I can pretend is being lost.
Yeah, that's good. So my last point, I wrote down the word searching. It was just searching on that particular point. When people are going through times of depression, they're just searching for answers. I think that's what you meant by lost.
Well, yeah, well, if you're lost, you're going to be searching.
Yeah, right. And there's a sense of loss, a sense of trying to find what the answer is. And then, you know what happens, too, if you're going through a depressing time and you become your own counselor, you know what the problem with that is? If you're depressed and you're your own counselor, what kind of counsel are you getting? I'm getting depressing counsel, right? So it just becomes like a circle. It goes around and around and around. And the other thing I thought in these two verses 5 and 6, he said, "I consider the days of old, the years of ancient times. And I call to remembrance my song in the night." Now, my song in the night is a positive thing. It's almost like he's looking back. There was better times. It's kind of the way he's trying to see it. It's kind of a twisted perspective on things. And he's trying to deal with that. So those are just several things that the psalmist deals with here in these several verses. So now look on the back of your handout. That's searching. First one I put down for my sleepless, and then silence, and then 5 through 6 is he was looking back. If I put the word, is how he sees it. He just kind of sees. He sees it from a how it used to be perspective, and how it's not. And then 6B was Frank had said lost, And just to help me remember these points, I wrote down another S, the word searching. By the way, too, there's nothing wrong if you're going through a depressing time with a self-examination. But self-examination has to lead, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the last point. It's okay if self-examination turns us to the Lord and doesn't just keep turning us to our problems over again and over again and over again. Because the reality is we're all going to have problems. And our problems, if they overwhelm us, then it can become very depressing. Now, move on to the back of the handout. Second point here, verses 6 through 9, some more of experiencing depression. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" And then he went on to say, "Hope thou in God, for I shall praise him for the help of his countenance." But when I read the first part of that verse, kind of the word "why" stood out. As he's asking himself, why? Why am I going through all of this? Now, the second part of the verse is what we'll get to at the end, where you realize what the remedy would be for what he's going through. But that's part of depression, too. Why? 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 Why is this happening? Why did God allow this to happen? Why do I have to experience this? Now, let's look at verses 7 through 8. And we'll fill in these three blanks here. First, verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? So I put three D's here. I thought of this. The first one is this, fill this word in, distorted. That depression can lead us to a distorted view of God. Now, why do I say that in verse 7? Yeah, will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Let me ask you this, as a believer, as a born-again child of God, does the Lord ever cast us off?
The Lord won't do that. That's not what the Lord does. So that's a distorted view of what God's like.
Right. What it is. Yeah, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And when we get to the last point, because we don't want to leave you depressed tonight. the first two points are depressing, but the third point is going to be the reverse of all of this. And that's what Bill just said. Well, knowing God's word, knowing what the scriptures say, or you heard a point in a message. We'll talk about that at the end. Those are the things that help extinguish depression in our lives. So yeah, we know that the Lord's not going to cast us off. We know that his favor is upon us. We're reminded of that. But when you get depressed, it just becomes so distorted because we're allowing, you know, in 2 Corinthians, where Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth, he said, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Now, the primary meaning of that verse is not dealing with depression. But the reality is, when we allow our own thinking to control us and not God's word to control us, it's going to lead to a distorted view of the things of God. What did Satan try to do in the Garden of Eden? He tried to distort God's word. He tried to change God's word. He convinced Eve that God really didn't mean what God said. And when we allow depressive thoughts to creep in, if you don't mind, Chris and Alicia, I'm going to use this as an example. CJ has had some pretty serious seizures. And that's troubling. You know, our son didn't get his first epileptic seizure until he's in college. But I do remember my daughter Hannah had a febrile seizure, which is not anywhere as close to what you're dealing with. And now we had, Shelly and I, Hannah is our fifth child. And all of a sudden, she's just a little thing, and all of a sudden the kids say, They come running in, something's wrong, something wrong, and there's Hannah in our little playroom, just laying aside. For a few seconds, I literally thought she was dead. Because the fever seizure, it just shuts down the child's body because of the temperature spike. Or I thought she electrocuted herself. She's just laying there, and I thought for maybe 15 or 20 seconds, I picked her up to listen to see if she was breathing. I thought for those 15 or 20 seconds that she was dead. Then we heard her breathe, and then I think I made it from my house to the North Adams Hospital in 7.5 minutes. We were back. But what they're going through with a little child like that, you feel so helpless. And then you can think, that can become depressing. Doesn't God care? Doesn't God? Yeah, he does care. He's in control of all things. And we don't always know, just because we don't necessarily see God working doesn't mean God isn't working. He's always working. So be careful we get a distorted view of God. And sometimes people, when they get the person, even begin to blame God. Why did God take my husband? Why did God allow this to fail? Why? Be careful of that. Now let's look at verse 8 and see if we can pick something out here. Is his mercy clean, God, forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? So we could use the word distorted view of God here too, but I have another word that I used here where it begins with a D. Doubt, very good. We begin to doubt God. We begin to doubt him. Has he vanished? Has he abandoned us? Doesn't he care about what's going on? Is his mercy clean, God, forever? Well, we know from the scriptures that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Doth his promise fail forevermore? Well, the promises of God never fail. Never. He's promised. Bill quoted the verse out of Hebrews earlier. He's promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. He didn't promise that there wouldn't be problems. You know, we looked on Sunday at Joseph's life, and Joseph's life is a model of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who are called. All things work together for good to them who are called unto God. This is his verse, according to his purpose. To them that love God, according to his purpose. Thank you. So look at Joseph's life. He was up, and he was down. And, I mean, his situation, he always seemed to be up, but his situation was always up, and then his situation was down, and then it was up again, and then it was down again. But all through that, he kept an even keel, and he kept his eyes fixed on the Lord. So doubt in verse number 8. All right, and then verse number 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? This one might be a little bit harder to think of. You want to take a shot? Huh? Excellent. Distance. So what do I mean by distance? You guessed it, but... You pull away. Depression will cause either... People will either pull away from the Lord, or they will draw closer to the Lord. Distance here. When we begin to allow God's word to be distorted, when we begin to doubt God's goodness, then we distance ourselves from God. You'll see that at times in people. In all my years of pastoring, I've seen that. People will almost like they could hide from God. Or they'll hide from other believers in the sense that they don't want fellowship any longer. And exactly what they need is fellowship. But let's remember, and I'm being critical when I say that, because if you're going through depression, then you need people in praying for you. Or they won't be around worship. They'll find it difficult to worship. They'll spend time in the Bible. Spend time in prayer. They distance themselves from the things of God. And then notice this at the very end of verse 9, the word Selah. What does that word mean? Anybody know the word Selah? What does that mean? Yes. Yes, very good. The stop and ponder. Think about it. So he stops here. Think about all of this. All of the things that we've talked about. The fact that he's sleepless. He doesn't really want to communicate. Silence. And he's kind of got a distorted view of the way he sees things. And he's kind of searching. And thinking about what he's thinking with regards to God's word and the doubt and distancing himself. In a way, what's happened is he's lost hope. And that's often what depression is. You just kind of lose hope. So now we move to the last point. Now let's head in the other direction. Extinguishing depression. Now somebody said this, I wrote, it's not on your handout, but it's on mine. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. He said, when we're overwhelmed by depression, when we are overwhelmed by depression, we tend to look at God as the God of sorrow and not the God of strength. We want to look at God as the God of strength. Romans 15:4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, what we're doing tonight actually is exactly that. We're looking at scripture that was written about 1,000 years before Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 was written. Do you understand what I mean by that? So Romans 15:4 was written after Christ, of course, had gone to the cross and was crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. The Apostle Paul is spreading the gospel. But what he's saying is this. Listen, there were scriptures written aforetime when Paul was preaching that the New Testament wasn't completed yet. So much of what he's preaching out of the Old Testament. And he's reminding those folks there, he's reminding us, but listen, all of these scriptures were written that we could look back down through the years. Like I preached on Sunday, Ethan's going to preach this Sunday, and Moses, I preached on Joseph. We're looking back to Joseph's life, and we're seeing what Joseph went through, and then we can make application to our own life. And because we see how it turned out, that gives us hope. And so the same here with this particular psalm, because the psalmist now, his whole direction changes here. So he ends there in verse 9 with Selah, and then now pick it up in verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. So these I just put on here to leave them blank. So notice on your handout, one of the things we need to do if we're going to extinguish depression in our lives when we feel overwhelmed is we need to recall God's blessings. In verse 10, when it speaks of his right hand, first he identifies his infirmity. And if you're going through depression, listen, I've gone through times of depression. You have to identify it in your life. Some people go through times of depression sometimes the weather can put people into depression. And again, there's different types, and some are more serious than others. But you do have to identify, wow, I'm really going through a depressing time. I remember I was maybe 2 or 3 years in the ministry, and I have a dear friend who's retired now. He's 10 years older than me. He was a missionary to the Ivory Coast. He pastored before. We supported him in this ministry here long before I was the pastor. And that's actually how I met him. Terry Jones is his name. And I remember he visited me 2 or 3 years after I had been called to preach and was pastoring this church. And I said, Terry, did you ever get depressed in the ministry? And he laughed. He said, all the time. And that's how he spoke, all the time. Oh, really? Yes, you're dealing with people, you know, and problems and all of that. And so you have to identify when you're going through depression. We all go through it. And we struggle. So, I mean, I suppose that some people are always upbeat. They never go through depression, but more power to them. But the psalmist here, listen, he He says, I'm going to recall, having thought about this, Selah, I'm going to recall the blessings of God. That's what I'm going to do. His right hand, when it speaks of his right hand, it speaks of God's strength. Then look at verses 11 through 15. Now he's going to remember God's works. I mean, before we read these, have you seen God work in your life before? Amen?
Amen.
You've seen him work? So that's what you have to remember. The Bible is filled with illustrations of God working in people's lives. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God is our God. Thou art the God that does wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. All of a sudden, his thinking is changing. Wait a minute. He says, I recall God's blessings, how God's blessed me before. And I remember God's work. And as we get further into this psalm, he's going to be speaking about Moses crossing the Red Sea. Do you know there are over 40 references in the Bible with regards to Moses crossing the Red Sea? And it's just not to remind us, well, it is to remind us of the power of God, but if you remember, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible too, where Moses stood at the banks of the Red Sea, and the armies of Pharaoh are charging from behind, and the Red Sea is in front of him, and Moses has no idea that God in just a little bit is going to split the Red Sea wide open. All he knows is he's got all of these people, they're at the Red Sea, and Moses is hot, and he's going to come, and he's going to wipe them out. And God says to Moses, this verse, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, I love that verse. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we just need to wait upon the Lord. God split the Red Sea wide open. So the psalmist, probably about 1,500 years prior to him writing this. Sometimes we look back at all of the scriptures, well, that was so long ago. Well, the psalmist wrote this 1,500 years ago that it happened. He's kind of looking back in time. He would look back even further to the days of Noah. And he recalls, he remembers the work of God. And then he begins to refocus his mind. And that's what we need to do. We need to refocus our mind. Someone got a hold of me the other day, and they were struggling and dealing with some difficult things. And I just encouraged them to spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in God's Word. Remind yourself to count the blessings of God. Put on some good Christian music and listen to some good Christian music. Get your mind refocused off of what it is that's dragging you down. And look, notice in verse 12, I will meditate also on thy works. I like to meditate on the things of God. Just to, you know what that is? Just to sit and think about God. Just to sit and think about it. You know, especially in the fall when I'm in the woods hunting, I just like to sit and just look at creation and just think about God and the beauty that's all around us. And beautiful as it is where we live, we're living in a cursed world. And yet it's still so beautiful. But we got to refocus. And towards God, the things of God, I will meditate. And he says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who's so great? And God is our God. And then, lastly, we just need to spend time in rejoicing. And all of the last several, the last verses, really verses 10 down through verse 20, are just verses of rejoicing. Paul said to writing in the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the things of God. The old hymn writer wrote that. I love that hymn. Count your blessings. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's all part of refocusing our thinking. So I'll finish with this. It's on your handout, Psalm 61:3. or 61, 1 through 3. The psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Now here it is right at the center there. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I love that verse. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." And getting through a time of depression, especially if it's a fairly deep depression, listen, it's a process. It's not a moment. It's going to take some time. It's more like a series of moments. It's identifying, just as Asaph did. And then it's beginning the process of thinking about God's blessings and the great works of God, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others, refocusing our thinking, rejoicing in the Lord. One of the reasons to assemble is just on a weekly basis to refocus each week our thinking about all that's going on. There's a lot of things going on in the world that could get you off on the depressed. But we can come to the Lord's house, open up the scriptures, fellowship one with another, sing the hymns and the choruses, and just get our focus back on the things of God. And allow to lift us up. If God be for us, Romans 8:31 says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" So that's our Bible study for tonight. Expressions of depression, experiencing depression, and then extinguishing depression in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'll have a short word of prayer, and then you can go ahead and take your prayer list, spend your time in prayer, and then when you're done, just go ahead and excuse yourself and let others want to pray a little bit longer. Do so. Lord, we love you because you first loved us, and we're thankful that your word has an answer to every issue and every problem in life. We're thankful most of all for the cross, the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Bless now our prayer time. Help us now as we approach the throne of grace, Lord, we come knowing that and asking that you would answer each of these prayer requests according to your will. In Jesus' name.